In July of 2015, we brought you a story about David Sainer, a professor of English and linguistics at Our Lady of the Lake University, battling an aggressive form of ALS. We shared the story about David's efforts to voice bank. He recorded thousands of phrases and sentences in anticipation of losing his voice to this disease. We have a sad update to report. David passed away on March 12th. We wanted to share that voice banking story with you one more time, as well as a reflection on this man who devoted his life to his family, his students, his friends, and the study of language.
And we are doing this ice bucket challenge.
Remember the ice bucket challenge? It was the rage of the fall of 2014. The ritualized dumping of frigid water on the heads of the willing raised awareness about ALS, and more importantly, it raised over $100 million research dollars for the American ALS Association. This ice bucket challenge was at San Antonio's Our Lady of the Lake University. On this day, 12 members of the faculty stood in line and in domino fashion dumped 5 gallons of icy water on top of each other. While part of a national craze, this challenge had extra special meaning because one of their own, English professor David Sainer, had been recently diagnosed with ALS.
Today we'll be talking about language.
This is audio from one of Sainer's instructional online videos that he made for his students. Sainer's specialty is linguistics, the power of language, examinations of language form, language meaning, and language in context, which seemed to make it all the more tragic when the ALS quickly progressed. Sainer lost his ability to speak. But recently, when I visited Sainer, he was able to greet me in his own voice that came from a computerized speech augmentation system. While in the early stages of ALS, Sainer recorded his voice for the computer, a process called voice banking. Karen Blassing is a professor of communications disorders at Our Lady of the Lake University.
We've had for many years computerized devices for people who do have diseases like ALS so that when they lose the ability to talk, they can access the device through typing out words and then the device will speak the words. Previously, the voice was a computerized voice. In the process of voice banking, we're able to capture or save a person's voice before that voice deteriorates through the disease.
Think about your voice, what it means to speak with your own unique sounds, how that is connected to your identity and your sense of self. Blessing said being able to keep that for those who have lost so much has incredible meaning.
When an individual is no longer able to speak, it's really a devastating thing. And to be able to have their own voice in one of these devices, it's a very profound and powerful moment for the individual as well as for their family to have that part of them still available.
It's beautiful. I love hearing his voice. Makes me a little emotional.
Nancy Sainer is David's wife, and she's at his bedside. She explains that he is still getting the hang of this technology and working out the bugs.
I miss him being able to talk with him, but I think once he gets better at this, it won't just be utilitarian things like move my left leg and be able to have real adult conversations again.
Since Sainer has lost the ability to move, a computer tracks his eye movements and allows him to build up words by picking out the letters.
Mary, your front desk can tell you about this type of device.
Oh, yes. Who is that? Say it again.
The speech reproduction isn't perfect. There's that mechanical pacing. Nevertheless, that's still David's voice. And the technology also gives him access to the internet.
He can go on Facebook or, you know, he can play chess. I mean, he can get on the internet. I mean, it really, really opens up the world to him.
David Sainer put it best when he said,
"My voice and body don't work, but my mind is fine."
His voice and body don't work, but his mind is fine. And saying it with his own voice gives that extra meaning. For the Texas Standard, I'm David Martin Davies in San Antonio.
Months after his diagnosis, David had a general linguistic theory class that met on Monday evenings. We arranged my accompanying him to each class, to wheel him over, to turn the pages of his books and notes while he lectured and discussed with the students, and to negotiate the computer, clicking the mouse to advance his thoughtfully prepared PowerPoints. The classroom space is an inner sanctum for a professor. Entering another colleague's sacred space of a classroom week after week is a rare and precious privilege. I learned a lot from him about dedication, courage, and strength, and other things too, in and out of that classroom. Once in the days when he could still get around with a cane, I explained my bandaged left hand. I burned it badly while cooking. I self-deprecatingly added that people had often commented that I had nice hands and now I'd ruined them. He was silent. He said he wanted to go back to his office. I tried to take his arm, but he said he didn't need my help. I blinked back at him as he made his way back to his office and closed the door. A few hours later, he told me that my comment had bothered him. He said he'd felt some nameless emotion, a negative one. He said my burns would heal and the scars would fade. And then he said he felt bad for thinking that, for holding on to that dark secret thought about my insensitive comment. I learned such a powerful lesson in the apologies we gave each other that day, two friends brought together, trying to figure out one of life's most difficult challenges without rules or maps, no instructive videos, no books to follow to figure it out, but also not a single shred of dissimulation. That honest, forthright exchange expunged us each from the pettiness that mars some friendships. It was an oddly freeing moment, one that liberated me from such a thoughtless quip, and that I hope removed from him even the hint of disdain. Our mutual trust expanded and our surprising friendship grew. Pretty soon the cane was gone and he was in the chair. Some days I helped him eat or take a drink of water. Once at a faculty mixer, he sipped at a glass of Sauvignon Blanc with a straw I held up to his mouth. Someone commented that she wasn't sure she could feed another colleague or wipe his mouth. He was my colleague, but he was also my friend, and by then as close as a big brother. And I know that David would have done the same for me. I learned many more things from David Sainer. At his memorial service on April 1st, the family he adored invited me to share some of these lessons. In memory of this dearest of friends, I'll share them here one more time. Lesson 1. Be kind. Always be kind. Be patient and be kind. Lesson 2. Learn all you can about the world. Stretch your mind as far as the corners of this earth. Get to know people. Listen to them. Dance to their music. Sing their songs. Use their words to pray for humanity. Lesson 3. Young people are not lazy. They're not selfish or thoughtless. They are learning. They are figuring things out. They need our help. Lesson 4. Praise your friends and coworkers. Recognize their efforts without a thought to what's in it for you. Their success is yours because we are working together for common goals. Lesson 5. Stand your ground. Sometimes you must do so in the background. The spotlight is fickle. Light comes from within. Lesson 6. When you are afraid, lean on your friends. Even the ones you weren't sure you could rely on, they will be there. Lesson 7. Smile all the time, even through the worst of it. Feel free to laugh at life's absurdities. People will miss that laugh so very much when you are gone. People will miss that sweet, sincere smile. While you are here, smile and laugh. Lesson 8. Tell everyone you know how much you adore the love of your life. Tell them often, every chance you get. Tell them all about your shared passions. Tell them your love is eternal and that you cannot ever imagine being on this journey without her. Tell everyone how beautiful your children are. Tell them you're not just saying that or being biased just because you are their father. You really mean it. They are so very beautiful. Tell everyone how proud you are of your grandchildren. Tell them about family trips and baseball games and hanging out at home. Tell everyone how proud you are of every single one of those grandchildren and that you love your family more than anything else in this world. Lesson 9. Know that your suffering in this life has meaning. Know that. Lesson 10. You will go on trying to comprehend this suffering. Just remember that we must face the best and the worst that life has to offer with honor and dignity, and always seek peace.
That was Texas Public Radio's Yvette Benavides. She is also a professor of English at Our Lady of the Lake University in San Antonio.